Welcome to the Jacob's Well podcast. These messages are intended to feed you some great stuff that you can really dig your teeth into all week and beyond. That's why you can find it anytime, along with other great resources and ways to keep the conversation going at jacobswell.com/leftovers. Enjoy the message.
Good morning, Jacob's Well. Weird that you guys are still friendly after all these years. It's wonderful. I got bills. Who can relate to that song we just heard? It's great hearing a hip-hop song where they just tell it like it is. I got bills I got to pay. It's not, I've got 50G I got to spend. So we're going to be probably talking more about the bills we got to pay today. Then maybe life on the other side. But yeah, we're talking about because it hurts, and money hurts, right? We all know that to be true. If you look at our history as a species, there's this kind of consistent strain that goes throughout all of that story, and it's greed. Greed is one of those things that has followed us every step of the way to this point today in 2015. So it's going to be a very cheerful conversation today. Glad you're here. You know what? Okay, too much talk about stuff that's painful. So let's talk about politics. Okay, so there's a presidential election coming up, right? You haven't heard? Is that guy familiar? Okay, here's what's happening with the presidential election in 2016. There will be approximately $5 billion spent on campaigns for president in 2016. $5 billion, okay? So that's just for this coming election and only the presidential. We have that. Add on top of that, there is approximately $600 billion that will be spent by the military this year. $600 billion this year. And if we took that, and it costs $7 million to feed the whole entire world for a day. That's what the researchers have made the estimate to come out to. So think about what we could do with that $5 billion or that $600 billion. How many days that would, how many years that would feed the whole entire world. It seems that money and our relationship with it on the macro is a little off, right? Shouldn't this be something that we could easily fix? And don't we all have the same priorities that we want people's mouths to be fed? So why aren't we doing that? We've been hearing a lot about Syria as well lately. And a lot of the unrest that's happening in Syria can be traced back to climate changes that have happened, which could be related to climate change that's human-induced. But folks who used to work out in the fields in Syria and were farmers, there was an extended drought that forced a lot of farmers to move to the city, to places like Damascus, where they could find work and money for food. And so all these people started congregating in places like Damascus, and unrest happened. They weren't able to feed all the people while a certain royal family was, experiencing life full of riches, and there was unrest, and it's led to years of civil war, where 9 million people, it's estimated, will be displaced because of this fight. So there's the good news. This is weird. This is real stuff, and it's our world. And then there's Minneapolis. There, this is the Greenway. And I mean, there's homelessness. I mean, how many of you folks on your way here passed somebody experiencing homelessness on the way in? I know I did, several folks. Thousands of children will be homeless and are homeless actually today in Minnesota, in Minneapolis. And winter is coming, right? So it's a good thing we have the church, isn't it? Isn't it so wonderful that the church can step into this reality and just set it straight, right? So, yeah, so here's the deal. The church didn't really always get it right, and we've seen that in many ways. This is just something to get our blood boiling, but check out this video.
Because if, say, you don't have $1,000 or perhaps have significant credit card debts, Seed Faith can still work for you.
I have a feeling that somebody that wants a credit card debt wiped out, that if you'll use your faith as you sow the $1,000 on a credit card, as you use your faith, as you use your faith, God's going to wipe out your credit card indebtedness.
Think about that. That is the equivalent of saying the key to you losing weight lies at the bottom of this giant Costco bulk bag of peanut butter M&Ms. Go find it. It's definitely down there.
Okay. That's from the John Oliver show. And he put on about a 20-minute show just on churches and those that are really abusing the system and manipulating people to give them money to do things that Jesus actually never really talked about, like buying your own private jet. There's something wrong there, right? And it's not like this is a new phenomenon. Here's a picture of a church. There's just something that we're missing there. Something got lost in translation with Jesus' words. So what were some of those words? There's this verse from Luke 16, and I think it really captures it pretty clearly. No slave can serve two masters, for a slave will either hate the one and love the other, or be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth. That is a pretty clear statement. It's very black and white, either or. I don't know if you guys feel this, but I kind of find myself so often in the messy in-between. Like, I'm trying to figure out how is it that my money and my values line up? You know, how do I get those things to be about the person that I want to be? More like the person that I believe God wants me to be, and most importantly, the person that the world needs me to be. So I'm guessing that you're asking these same questions and have some of these same feelings around what do we do in the mess of this? So we live in a consumer world, and children even are reached with about 3,000 messages a day that tell them that if you have this product, or if you look like this, or if you buy that, you will find meaning, you will find acceptance. And those are direct messages to children. And think about the many, many images and messages that we are exposed to every day that tell us who it is that gets to assign us meaning and value. And it's mostly the goods and services that other people want us to buy. So it's this consumer world, and it makes sense that Jesus would say things like this story from Mark 10, where he's talking with the rich young ruler. This is a tough story, and I want to read it. It's up for you on the screens there. But This is verse 17. Now, as he was setting out, a man ran up and knelt before him and asked him, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but God alone. You know the commandments. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. You shall not defraud. You should not defraud. Honor your father and mother." And then the man said to him, "Teacher, I've kept all these since my youth." Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said, "You lack one thing. Go, sell what you own and give the money to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me." When the man heard this, he was shocked, and he went away grieving, for he had many possessions. Jesus continues and talks about how hard it is for the rich to get it. It's harder than walking through the eye of a needle, a camel walking through the eye of a needle. See, what Jesus is saying here is that it's not about money. It's about our relationship. It's about our relationship with money and those things. Are those things, is that money controlling us? Is that what's driving our ship? For this guy, he thought, "I've got this all figured out. I'm following all the commandments. I'm doing what I should do. What else is there to do? And Jesus says the one thing that he needed to hear was, "Your possessions own you. You're too tied to them, so you can't see the need of your neighbor around you." Those are tough words, and I hear those, and I feel convicted by them, and that's why I'm glad we have community to figure those things out together. How do we have these healthy relationships with money, with stuff, with those things that we need in our life, the things that we need versus the things that we want? We need community to be figuring this out. So it's not about the money, it's about the relationship. And I've already gone on about all the problems in our world, the hunger, the homelessness. There's that great story from Matthew 25 where Jesus talks about sheep and goats. And he goes into this, you know, "For when I was hungry, you fed me. And when I was naked, you clothed me. When I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. And whenever you did this to the least of these, you did it to me." Jesus gives us the view that who we should have our sights on. It's all of us around us, the people who are hurting. And you know what? When our money and possessions get in the way of us seeing other human beings or the rest of creation and where it's hurting, that's maybe something that we need to figure out and we need to work at. Maybe that can put us into one of those growth zones that we've been talking about these weeks. So, where do you find yourself in this? You know, not all of us are rich. Not all of us are just trying to figure out what to do with all this loose income. You know, it was great to hear from Hannah and Ren and student loans. I know that I can completely relate to student loan debt. That weighs heavily on us. I can think about maybe you're dealing with some credit card debt or other debts that you have in your life. Maybe you're in a place where you're kind of treading water, right? The ins and the outs, they're kind of matching up. And maybe you're trying to think about, what's that next step I can take to align my values with my choices? Maybe you are, you know, maybe this week you're at the food shelf because you don't have the money to pay your bills. I mean, all of us here are in all these different places. And we're all trying to figure this out together. And so in order to do that best, I want to lift up some priorities that Jacob's Well has as a community. And many of you know that Jacob's Well does financial coaching with all of our folks if they want it. It's a free service that we offer to our community because we believe that we need to be free from money, that we don't have to be controlled by it. but that life can be better when we are intentional about our finances and supported in that. So we're going to talk a little bit about that today. And I thought, what best way to do that than not the financial pro and the one who's still figuring out how to get that working budget going, but to hear from one of our financial coaches here, Nick Tassler. And Nick wanted some walk-down music, Living on a Prayer. So, oh, we're halfway there. Come on. Wow.
I didn't know about the a cappella version. Sure. I was thinking more of the studio version.
Right. Yeah. But I was going to get the Richie Sambora air guitar
That's
out.
That's good.
I didn't get it, but... Yes, Nick, so I'm glad you're up here.
I'm glad I'm up here, too. First time I've ever felt tall in my life.
This is great. We're all about building each other up today, especially when it's conversing about money.
Thanks, Chris.
Thank you, Chris. So, Nick, you've been a financial coach for quite a few years mm-hmm. with Jacob Swell.
Yeah.
And one, I'd love for you to tell us a little bit about what that entails. And then I want to know why you started this whole.
Yeah. So basically what it entails is, I mean, exactly what it sounds like. It's coaching for people who want to make some kind of a change in their finances. And I think it runs the gamut. So there's me and about 8 or 9 others. And I think everyone who they've coached, has had something different they wanted to do. Either they just had like a short-term money crunch they wanted to help get figured out, or they wanted to start saving up for something, wanted to get out of debt, whatever it was. And so really the job of the coach is just to simply kind of help facilitate that process. It's not really, we're not financial planners. You don't want me planning your finances. So it's really just to sort of lead you to some resources to kind of try and help you do whatever it is that you're trying to do. And, so it's kind of like the two A's, it's like part of it is maybe some sort of advice on resources you could use. And then the other part is accountability. Yeah. So just the mere fact of having to meet with someone on a regular basis kind of helps you keep yourself accountable.
Right.
Yeah.
And so, when I think about some goals that come out of that. One is having that good, solid working budget.
Mm-hmm.
And then two would be living by it, right? Mm-hmm. Which is probably one of the hardest things to
yeah.
do. And then three is kind of that aligning your values with your spending. Mm-hmm. And I think that kind of goes, that last one kind of plays in all three of those, obviously.
Yeah.
But maybe that third one is, so how do we do that fully and generously? And
well, and so a minute ago, the other question you asked was, why did I do this, right? And I think that that goes perfectly with that last piece, sort of aligning your values. So our story, meaning mine and my wife, goes back to about 2008, 2009. Some of you might remember there was a fairly significant financial situation in the world in 2008. And so anyway, and like many people, we were impacted. We had just bought a house that was way too expensive, that was no longer near the value that we paid for it. Anyway, we had sort of all these other issues going on, and essentially one day we just kind of looked at what we were doing, how we were living, and how we wanted to live, and how we wanted to spend our money, and realized that there was a massive gap in between those. So it wasn't like we were necessarily going to get foreclosed on our house or anything like that, but it was more like, there's things that we want to do. There's ways that we want to give. Like if our life ended next year, would we be happy with the way that we're spending our money right now? And it's like totally not reflective of who we think we are. And I don't mean that, so there's like, kind of there is the one part about giving and aligning with your values. And then the other part of it, I'll just call it the selfish part, which is there's lots of stuff we wanted to do just because we like to travel, right? It's not necessarily making the world a better place, but it's what we really cared about. We cared about that even more than having a nice house. Mm-hmm. And yet here we were putting all our money in a house and not being able to travel. And we just looked at it and said, well, this is stupid and it sucks. So we need to make a change, and that kind of launched us on a journey that lasted about 2 or 3 years where we just said, kind of come hell or high water, we're getting out of debt.
Yeah. Very cool.
Yeah.
I'm glad he brought that like fun piece or that like I want to enjoy life. And nowhere in this message that you and I are delivering is this don't ever spend a dollar on yourself. And if you do, feel really, really guilty about it. That's not what this is about. But it is about how we're making those intentional choices. And yes, God creates a world that is to be enjoyed, not to be lived through just feeling bad about yourself.
Yeah.
But when we have such disparity and our globalized world, and we see that in our own neighborhoods and on the news everywhere, there's obviously some imbalance. Mm-hmm. And so I think what we're talking about is balance. And budgeting seems to be a way that a lot of people can find some at least stability or balance in their life.
Yeah, definitely. And I almost, you know, you said a second ago, it's harder to, you know, the hard part is living the budget. And while that's true, I think for a lot of people, it's almost even harder making the budget, like really making a budget to begin with. Mm. And I think, you know, before we kind of decided to make our change, we sort of had a budget. Both my wife and I have always been pretty frugal. Mm. So it's not like we carelessly spent money, but it was just like we were pinching pennies but not counting pennies.
Yeah.
And I think that's the difference between being frugal and having a budget. And the truth is, when we actually like took account of how much money do we spend on all these things each month, right? And really like got it break down, going out to eat, groceries, gas, insurance, contact lenses, like everything, then we were able to make some really like, it was sort of like empowering and liberating at the same time, because it wasn't just this looming fear of, are we spending too much money? Every time I went and bought a coffee at a coffee shop, I had to think, gosh, I don't know, should I be spending that $1.75? And once you lay it down on a budget, you can say, you know what, every month I can spend $30 or $50 on whatever I want. Then I don't have to worry about these stupid little a dollar here, a dollar there. But before, it's like this fear, like you're always going to be over budget.
Yeah. So you brought up, we had a conversation earlier this week where I realized that I have a descriptive budget and not a prescriptive budget, right? So I go through all my finances after the month's over, and hey, there's my budget. At least I know how close I am to sticking into it. And so I am trying to work with Patty on moving to that prescriptive kind. And you had a great kind of insight on how you understand budget. So
yeah,
can you
just
define
that every dollar should have a name on it before it ever comes in. So you know how much you're going to make with your paycheck or whatever. Every dollar of that needs to be allocated before you even receive the money. Like, you need to know where all of that's going to go. And some of it can go to vacation, and some of it can go to going out to eat. But just make sure that it's accounted for, that every dollar has a name on it before it even hits your bank account.
Yeah.
And that I think is kind of the key to the budgeting. You know, in the descriptive, prescriptive, I think step one, you have to have the descriptive, so you're not just talking about, you're not just guessing, well, we probably shouldn't spend so much on going out to eat or whatever. Well, how much do you spend? Well, I don't know, but it seems like we probably shouldn't. And then, you know, then that's when a budget becomes restrictive.
Yeah.
That's when it's like, so everything that's fun, we shouldn't ever do.
Yeah.
You know, and that's, you know, that's not sustainable for one thing.
Yeah. So the other piece is wherever it is in my brain, and I am searching for it right now.
But your brain?
Yes, I'm searching in my brain for what I was just going to say. But, you know, we talked about pain.
Yeah.
And, you know, this is because it hurts. And, you know, even as financial coaches work with folks in the community and, you know, that doesn't promise that the pain goes away, but you know, we kind of talked about different kinds of pains.
Yeah.
Can you elaborate that and kind of?
Yeah, so it's kind of like you know, I think I had mentioned just to be a devil's advocate, I think that I've sort of taken issue with this, you know, with this sermon series that because it hurts. I said, well, not, you know, there's a lot of stuff that doesn't hurt, and I think the more we focus on it hurts, the more it seems like it hurts. But anyway, that's beside the point. So it's talking about in terms of money.
It was Greg's idea.
Thank God he's not here.
Yeah.
No, but I think with money, it is true, right? It hurts. It hurts kind of in two ways.
Yeah.
You know, it hurts initially when we look at our situation. It feels like we never have enough money to do the things we want to do, to, you know, support the causes that we want to support. Mm-hmm. That hurts. That's one kind of pain. And then there's like another kind of pain that's like a growing pain, which is in order to fix that situation where your spending is totally out of whack with your enjoyment and your values, that requires another kind of pain, which is, you know, it's choice. Right, we have to make choices. Is our house more important than traveling? Is, you know, is going out to eat more important than, you know, having a car? Is having a car more, right? And you just, and it's different for everybody. Every individual is going to have different priorities on each of those. And so you know, as a couple, as an individual, you have to decide which choices are we going to make? Where are we going to rob from Peter so we can pay the Paul that we really care about? And that's the way that the growing pain happens. Yeah. And then at the end, you know, to quote John Cougar, then it can hurt so good,
yeah.
You know, right? You see it, you feel the progress, you say, you know, you're kind of shutting off this part that's not working,
yeah.
And there's pain associated with that. But in the end, it's like, wow, we're finally integrated and living in alignment with how we want to live.
Yeah, yeah, and that's got to be, I mean, I like how you talk about that happening over time, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's a process of
yeah.
being there.
Years,
and
usually
even when
for
you're
most
there,
people.
I imagine, you know,
yeah.
you're still going to be presented with those choices
mm-hmm.
if you ever get there, wherever there is.
But, yeah, right, exactly. And there is different for everybody, and that's fine.
Right. So what gets in the way of... gets in the way of relieving some of that pain.
It's the pain of giving up things that we've gotten used to.
Yeah.
I think it's, so. It's like it's sort of one the fear that. So I can say even to this day. So with my business,
yeah.
You know, sometimes when I feel like money's getting tight, I like avoid checking my bank account. Mm. It's like if I close my eyes, it can't see me, right? And so I think that's like one of the biggest challenges of people starting to make a budget.
Sure.
Like I'm afraid that if I open this up, I'm afraid of what I'm going to find.
Yeah.
And so there's that.
Yeah.
But then it's, like I said, then once you lay it out, then it's sort of liberating.
Yeah.
I think everybody feels that. But the other part is then we have to make the choices. You know, we can't keep,
right.
we can't get to where we want to go by doing all the things we used to do.
Right.
We have to quit some things.
Right.
And that can be hard.
Yeah, and that, I think, I was trying to lead you with this accountability piece. Like,
yeah.
aligning your spending with your values mm-hmm. is tough.
Yeah.
And when you live in a world that you have consumerism, like, gone haywire
mm-hmm.
and you're just bombarded with images and messages that tell you here's where your self-worth is, here's where your, you know, value
yeah.
to the society
yeah.
is. Well, we're talking about something really alternative to that.
Yeah.
And to do that by yourself, I don't
know. It's a great point. So I'll go back to, you know, kind of our personal story. The really hard part was everybody that we knew, you know, so neither of us are, you know, went to school around here. We have lots of friends who live elsewhere, outside of Minneapolis, outside of the Jacobs Well community, who I would say have a very different relationship with money than we do.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we stay in touch with these friends, we see all the new and cool, exciting things that they're buying and having and doing, and you start to feel like every now and then you question yourself and you start to think, are we just idiots? Like, are we trying to be martyrs for some reason? Like, why are we suffering and they're living the high life? And it can be challenging if you don't have other people. And that's, frankly, where this community kind of came in. We're like, but there's a whole other group of people here who are living and spending and aligning their, you know, their life with their values. Maybe we're not crazy, right? Maybe that's, there is another way to go. But if you didn't have that, it's really hard to swim up current against all the other messages you're receiving about how you need to leverage your money and, you know, take out credit cards, and it's the, you know, it's the new era, right? So.
Great. Well, Nick, it's been great to have you up here and represent those financial coaches. And just a quick plug, if you have talked with a financial coach in the past and want to reconnect, if you've stopped connecting, Or if you want to try out an experience with a financial coach for the first time, please write that on your communication cards, and we can connect folks with that. Good people like Nick and others who are just going to help you be a better you by getting in control of some finances and maybe setting up a budget and encouraging us and one another to live within those things.
And, live it on a prayer and a budget.
Live on a prayer and a budget. Nice. Well, full circle. Thanks, Nick. Appreciate it. Yeah. Yeah, so we've talked about this kind of, are we living in a comfort zone or are we in the danger zone? You know what? I don't want to look at my finances or my bank account. That feels like a comfort zone when we put the blinders on temporarily, but it's really that danger zone. And some folks are in a danger zone because they don't have finances to pay the bills right now, and they are really drowning and reaching their hands up for somebody to help them out. And that's why we're community together, too. We get to help one another move from drowning to at least treading water, and ideally we can get to that place where we're soaring and helping others out in their need. So this is about aligning our lives with the people that we want to be, with the people that the world needs us to be. And it's going to hurt, and it's going to be beautiful at the same time. And the fact about it is that we get to do this good hard work together. So let's be Jacob's Well and do that, and take that long, hard road of aligning our spending and our values as Jacob's Well.